And just two points about last week. Last week we said over different sfarim that are named after different people. So there's a nekuda that the Seder Deris brings down by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi that Mishnayis, Shas Mishnayis, Bracha starts off with the word Me'emasai Kurin Shema Ba'arvin. Me'emasai, the Seder Deris brings the name of the Megale HaMukais, is the Gematria Ani Yehuda Kadosh. So you see over there also that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in Mishnayis was meramis to his name in the first word of the Sefer. Like we discussed last week about being meramis to your name in the beginning of your Sefer or being meramis to your name in the name of your Sefer. Okay, that's something that's kosher to last week. And another nekuda, once we're talking about Me'emasai, so I saw in the introduction of the Marzu to Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, he says that he's talking about the chashivus, the importance of Rabbi Eliezer, and he points out that the first Mishnah in the beginning of Shas, in the beginning of Brochus, that Mishnah we're talking about, is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah says, "Vehem say Kren Shabbat Arvin Mishal Shakayhan Nichnasim Lachol Bet Shmasim Al Sefer Shmuel Rishayna Tivri Rabbi Eliezer." So the words of Shas start off with Rabbi Eliezer. So you see how the Chashivus of Rabbi Eliezer, and he's the first one mentioned in Shas. That's one Nakuda from that's Negeh to last week. Another nekuda was last week we mentioned a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Chukas that it said that we said that Moshe Rabbeinu when he went up to Shemaim he heard them saying the first mission in Parah and Rabbi Eliezer said the first mission in Parah and Moshe Rabbeinu he wanted that this Rabbi Eliezer should be a descendant of his. We said that that's what it means. It said B'Shem Echad Eliezer in Parshas Yisra. When we were saying that I misquoted the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Parah Perak Aleph Mishnah Aleph says Rabbi Eliezer Omer Egla bas shnasa upara bas shtayim. V'chachamim are egla bas shtayim upara bas shalish. I confused the two shitas, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Yes, sir.
Did Rabbi Eliezer end up being a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu?
So it seems that he was. Yes, it seems that Rabbi Eliezer is a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then we have to know exactly if he was a straight paternal descendant, which would make him a Levi, like Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi, so he'd be a Levi. But there's other sources that seem to say that Rabbi Eliezer was a Kohen. The Radal talks about it. It's not so clear. But I misquoted the Mishnah last week, so I wanted to clarify that. And just interesting that some of Farshim on this morning to get to next week, but some of Farshim on that Medrash point out that what was happening over there was that Rabbi Eliezer was able to understand some sort of secret of Paraduma that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to understand. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu realized that he's not on that dargah or whatever, that he can't understand it, but he wanted that at least the person who could understand it would be somewhat a descendant of his. Whether it means literal descendant or not, it means just someone who comes Mikayach Moshe Rabbeinu. That's kashur to last week. Okay, now we're going to start Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Aleph. This is the story of how Rabbi Eliezer went from being a Pashut farmer to becoming the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. The first two Pakim are discussing this story. This story is the opening of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and as we said before last week, that it could be that it was added on later on, that it's not really part of the actual Sefer. It could be the actual Sefer starts with Perek Gimel of Mei Malach Gevuras Hashem. This story is, besides being brought in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, it's also brought in Avos Rabbi Nosson in Perek Vav, and in Bereishis Rabbah in Parsha Membeis. So let's read the story. It says, "Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus." There's a story with Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. "Shahayu la'aviv charshim." He was working with his father's workers in plowing a field. "V'hu charshin al gabei hama'ane." "V'hu yacharish b'trashin." The workers of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' father, were working in the soft ground. They were working to plow the field, and the field that they were working, the part of the field that they were working on was soft, ma'ane. V'hu ha'yacharish b'trushin. Rabbi Eliezer, or Eliezer, because he's not a Rebbe yet, he was working in the hard ground. And as you can imagine, it's very difficult to plow through hard ground because it's hard ground, and you have to, if you want to make a ditch through it, it's not so easy, and it's hard work. And what happened was, Yoshav loy v'haya boicha. He was sitting and he was crying. Amar loy aviv mipnei ata v'icha. His father came over. He saw his son is crying. What are you crying? Why are you crying? Shema mitzdar shato chayish b'troshin. Maybe you're suffering. You're in pain because you have to plow through the hard ground. So I'll help you out. We're going to switch it. We'll have a role reversal. You do the soft ground, and I'll have the workers take care of the hard ground. Make it a little bit easier for you. So they switched jobs, and Eliezer started working the soft ground, and the workers were working on the hard ground. Still, Rabbi Eliezer went, and he was sitting there in the soft ground, and he was sitting there, and he was crying. His father came over and said, "Why are you crying? Maybe you're in pain, you're suffering, that you have to work in plowing over here on the soft ground." And the Marzu points out, obviously not, because that's not bothering. That's easy to do. So it seems like you just want to not work anymore. That's why you're sitting here crying. Kilu, he's trying to like say like, maybe you're lazy. You don't want to work anymore. What's the matter with you? So Amar Loi, love. No, that's not why I'm crying. V'lam ata beicha. So his father said back to him, yeah, why? So why are you crying? Amar Loi, shani mevakish lilmei Torah, because I want to learn Torah. Before we get to what Reb Eliezer's father answered him, so the question is, what exactly what inspired him? Like, all of a sudden he started crying and decided he wanted to go learn Torah. So in Pirkei Reb Eliezer, the story is not exactly clear what happened. In another place where the story is brought, in Bereishis Rabbah, so over there it wasn't hard ground and soft ground, but what was happening was it was a story of whether he was plowing in a plain field, or in something that was on an incline. So obviously it's harder to plow on something that has an incline, because if you're trying to plow upwards, it doesn't really work so well. So it takes more work. And in that story, what happened was Reb Eliezer's cow fell off the mountain, and that's what caused him to start crying. And then he realized himself. He said, "L'tevasi nishbra regel parasi." For my good, the foot of my cow became broken, and that was sort of what inspired him to learn. And also, there, it's not so exactly clear what inspired him exactly. The Radal wants to say that even though it doesn't say in Pirkei Avos or what happened, but he wants to compare this to a famous story of Rabbi Kiva, that by Rabbi Kiva, what inspired him to go into learning at an advanced age was the fact that he noticed that the water was able to penetrate through hard rocks and make a hole in the rock. So somehow here too, Rabbi Eliezer realized that the plowshare was able to penetrate the hard ground, and he said to himself, you know, just like I guess Rabbi Kiva thought that water is a mashal to Torah, and Torah could penetrate a hard thing, even a person whose soul is completely hardened. So Rabbi Eliezer somehow made the same comparison and decided that he has to go learn Torah because he sees that something can be, even the hardest things can be penetrated. I don't see exactly how a plowshare is a mashal to Torah, but it could be there's some other source that says such a thing. Al Kapanim, we see that Rabbi Eliezer became, somehow through his agricultural work, became inspired to go learn. And he was crying, and his father said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "Because I want to go learn." So what is his father's reaction? So usually you would think that a father whose son wants to go and learn, maybe he would encourage his son. But Rabbi Eliezer's father did not encourage him. Omerle, he said to him.
Apparently it was necessary for him to plow in the hard ground and the soft ground to get to the point where he could say he wants to go learn Torah, right?
Some of us want to say that the reason why he waited to the second time to say why he was crying is because he wanted to show his father it's not just because the work is hard. Even when the work is easy, I'm still crying because I want to go learn Torah. It's not because of the work. It's because there's a different reason why I'm crying. That's some of us say. What? It's good pshat. I think so. So it says, "Omer lo."
Who was that?
Yeah. So last week we discussed all the different mafarshim on the Pirkei Avos. We said who they are and whatever.
You know, who was that said this?
I don't remember.
Because it sounds a little, yeah, it could be second time because the software wouldn't bother.
We try. I think
the thing is, it's so obvious that it is for me at least. Like, I don't know. I think that if he wanted to show to tell his father, he would just tell him. So they have to cry again. He was really mamash, sitting and crying. That's the pshat, I think. And because he was hidden and crying again, it didn't, maybe, not because he did it in purpose, maybe because it didn't, like, he wasn't embarrassed, maybe. No, not, you know.
He just be crying.
Yeah, he was not hiding that he was crying. He was really crying. I don't mind. My father will see me crying again. And if you ask him again, I'll tell him.
Yeah, I mean,
it sounds like it's the way of, he was a child here. No.
Oh, we're gonna see that he wasn't a child.
Oh,
that's the thing. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
We didn't say how old he was, but.
Okay, because in the first instance, when he's in the hard ground, his father assumes that the work's hard for him. He doesn't say that it's hard ground.
Right.
He doesn't give the reason. His father says, "Well, maybe the soft plant would be better for you. Come on, we'll move you over here right away." And he goes. But after the soft ground, there's nothing left to say. He has to come out and say,
either not working anymore,
he has to come
or
out and say what's really bothering him.
Right. And we find this concept also. It could be one of the Mefarshim speaks this. I don't remember, or maybe I thought of it myself, but. By Esther, when she wanted to ask Achashverosh for a favor. So what did she do? She made a whole party or whatever, and then she was going to, so what do you want? What did she say? Oh, let's make another party. To build up, to say how it's like really serious. So first he like cries, and he doesn't say exactly what he wants. And then he's like, okay, maybe I'll help you out like this. But he's still crying to impress upon his father that it's a serious thing. To try, maybe it'll be able to convince him more. I don't know. So Amalai, so what does his father say back to him? Amalai.
So you're saying maybe it was really a plan to sound like,
right.
I'm not just friend. I really want to learn Torah. That's why I'm trying to tell you, even with soft work or hard work, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I want to get out of here.
Right.
Okay.
So Amalai. So his father said to him, "V'haloi ben Esther Mishmoyna Shana Ata. You're 28 years old. V'ata Mavakeh Shalom Torah. You want to go learn Torah?" It is actually in the Ovis Rabbi Nosson, the Gir says that he's 22 years old, not 28. But the point is, his father says, "You're already older, and as the saying goes, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You're not you didn't learn when you were younger. You're not going to be able to learn when you're older." So I'll give you an answer. Instead of learning, go get married, you'll have kids, and you'll take your kids to yeshiva. And the Radal explains that what he was saying is that when you take your kids to yeshiva, so the Gemara in Kiddushin says, "Kol Malamid Benoy Torah, Ma'ala Lavakosav Ki'ilu Kibla Mehar Sinai." So you go, you get married, have kids, and make sure that your kids learn, and you'll get the schar as if you learned. You don't actually have to go out in yeshiva. You know, be a simple person. Interestingly, Rabbi Eliezer actually married later on the sister of Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi. But at this point, he's not married yet. So he said that you don't have to learn. It's interesting, Nakuda also, that the Radal points out that it says, he said, you know, you're 28 and you want to go learn. So we find in the different sources, including Avos Rabbi Nosson, it says in Avos Rabbi Nosson, in the Perek Chav Dalet, it's talking about Elisha ben Avuya. Hu hayo omer, haloi mei Torah bialdusai, devei Torah nevloin bedomov, v'yetzin mepiv mufurashin. A person who learns Torah when he's younger, the Divrei Torah gets absorbed into his blood and it comes out explicit from his mouth. It comes out very clear. But a person learns Torah when he's older, I mean, as opposed to, and he didn't learn when he was younger, if he learns Torah when he's older and not when he's younger, it doesn't become absorbed in his blood and it doesn't come out of his mouth as clear. And also the people who say Mashalim, they say this mashal, "Im b'niru sayich loy chafatzdem, ich tasigim b'ziknu sayich." If when you were younger, "Im b'niru sayich loy chafatzdem," you didn't want to learn Torah, "ich tasigim b'ziknu sayich." How are you going to be able to reach it when you're older? So so that's part of Horkinus' taina to his son. He's saying, you didn't learn when you were younger, you're not going to be matzeich if you start learning when you're older. But the Radal points out that if you medayik in the lashon of what it says in Elvis Rabbi Nosson, it says, "Im b'nirusayich loy chafatzdem, ich tasigim b'ziknosech." If when you were young you didn't want it, loy chafatzdem, then you're not going to be able to achieve it when you're older. But if you did want it when you were younger, even if for whatever reasons you weren't able to learn when you were younger, but you wanted to learn, so that's already a different darga, and that you could be masich. He compares this to Gemara in Yevamos, where the Gemara says that a woman who didn't have children for 10 years, so we assume that she's not going to be able to have children. If she wasn't married for 10 years, she's not going to be able to have children. But if she was daita linase, she had in mind that she wanted to get married, so that sort of changes her teva, and it makes it that we don't assume that she can't have children. We assume that it could be that she could still have children, because you if you put your mind to something, even though under normal circumstances you wouldn't be able to achieve it, but if you put your mind to it, you could still achieve it. So what did Rabbi Eliezer do? He didn't know what to do. It says, "Asa shtei shabosis v'leitoam klum." He spent 2 weeks and he didn't eat anything. There's two ways to understand this. Either because he was under much pressure and a lot of suffering because he wasn't able to learn and he wanted to do it so much that Pashit, all food was just, he wasn't interested in eating. He was so sad that he couldn't focus on eating, that he couldn't bring himself to eat. You have to know if it literally means that he didn't eat. Some in Bereshis Rabbah apparently it says that he was eating clumps of dirt instead of eating real food. But the point is that he wasn't able to bring himself to eat. The Radal says that he was fasting as a means of davening so that he would be able to have certain siyata d'shmaya that will help him, push him in the direction that he would be able to achieve what he wants to do. Interestingly, the Radal says that he fasted for 2 weeks. So 2 weeks is 14 days. So why did he fast for 14 days? So the Radal says because he wanted to do a fast of 14 days as a tikkun for 14 years of him not learning, because when he's 28 and he was 13 when he was bar mitzvah. He was 13, so 28 minus 13 is not 14, it's 15. But this year he's going to go learn, so this year doesn't count. So the last 14 years he wants to make a tikkun for 28 minus 14. What? 28
minus 14.
Minus
14 or 13?
What?
14 plus 14 is 28.
Yeah, but
said
it.
But,
okay.
One year with 13.
Yeah.
We're saying true, but just saying.
Said it.
It's interesting. Yaakov Avinu was. He had to do a tikkun for being away from home.
Yeah.
While he was sitting and learning. Here we have Rabbi Eliezer. Basically, it seems like he was doing kibbutz avim. He was staying home and working like his father wanted him to do. And he sacrificed, and he wasn't learning. So it's just the opposite side.
So what do you see from that?
So, there's you, something lacking. It seems like this.
They
perceive something lacking, and both of them perceive something lacking.
I think you see from that there's no one plan for every person. Each individual has to do what he has to do. This his cheshbon or whatever, his shirsh of his and shabbar, whatever, he had to do this. That was his tafkid in life, that was his tafkid in life. And different people have to do different things. So he fasted for 2 weeks. And what happened after he fasted for 2 weeks? Eliyahu Navi came to him, revealed himself to him. Ben Hurkanes, lama ata b'icha. He said to him, "Ben son of Hurkanes, lama ata b'icha. Why are you crying?" Amaloi, mepnei shani mevakeh shalom atayra. He told Eliyahu Hanavi, "I want to go learn Torah." There's a chassidish minhag to say stories of tzaddikim, especially of Eliyahu Hanavi on Maaseh Shabbos. So here we have it. Amaloi, im ata mevakeh shalom atayra, alei liYerushalayim etzla b'yichna men zakeh. If you want to go learn Torah, so go up to Yerushalayim and go learn by b'yichna men zakeh. Just before we go on to the next part of the story, so the Marzu points out a very interesting idea that there's a famous brisa of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, that this brisa is found in Avodah Zarah Chaf Amud Beis and a few other places in Shas, that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair said a mahalach and how to achieve the greatest dargas in Yiddishkeit. And the Sefer Mesil Sisharim is famously built on this base of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, Torah mevi'a l'idei Zahirus, Zahirus mevi'a l'idei Zrizus, Zrizus mevi'a l'idei Nikius, Nikius mevi'a l'idei Precious, Precious mevi'a l'idei Tyra, Tyra mevi'a l'idei Chasidus, Chasidus mevi'a l'idei Anova, Anova mevi'a l'idei Yerascheid, Yerascheid mevi'a l'idei Kedusha, Kedusha mevi'a l'idei Ruach HaKedush, Ruach HaKedush mevi'a l'idei Tchias HaMeisim, and it's not in the Gemara, but in other Gersois, it's Gils Mesim Evili De Elio Anovi. So Rabbi Eliezer skipped all these steps, and he somehow got straight to Elio Anovi. It's a huge accomplishment. So the Marzu explains that the Vort is that.
So even though he didn't, you know, never learn Torah, he was a big tzaddik by then.
So we say like this. There's a pasuk in Mishlei. It says, "Im tivakshenu kakesav v'chamat moinim."
Don't try it at home.
Oh, yeah.
It's like.
Im tivakshenu kakesav v'chamat techapsa. No, if you request Torah like silver or like hidden things, you search for Torah. Then you're gonna understand Yiras Hashem and you're gonna find Das Elikim. And it says in Shir Shirim Rabba, Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yor Pasach, Im Tivakshana Kagas Vichatmoinim, Im Atom Chapes Achad Var Torah Kimatmoinim Ololu, In a Kodesh Baruch Mechapech Scharcha. If you look for Torah, search for Torah, like hidden treasure, Hashem is not gonna withhold from you your reward. He makes a mashal of a person loses, you lose some money in the middle of the night. So what do? They didn't have lights back then. They take a candle, and you go take a candle, and you look for it all over your house because you want to make sure that you still have it. So you want to make sure that someone else doesn't take it before you find it. So too, divrei Torah shem chayu olam hazeh v'chayolam haba, en ata torech l'chapes achareim kamatmeinim olalu. And then the Medrash in Shir Shirim continues. It says, "Omer Rabbi Eliezer, miyomai lo kadmani adam lebe Medrash v'loinas lehinachti sham adam v'yatzasi." Rabbi Eliezer, our Rabbi Eliezer, said that, you know, my whole life nobody got into the Beis Medrash before me, and nobody left after me. I was always the first guy there and the last guy to leave. And he said about himself, "Im tevakshena kakesav v'chamat moinim." And the next line in the Medrash is Mikan Tanina Hayy Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair Omer. This brisa that we said before, the Zerizus Mevili De Nikius, etc., all the way to Eliyahu HaNavi. So what's the Mikan Hayy Omer? So the Marzu explains that from the fact that he's Rabbi Eliezer, he himself teaches us this idea. Rabbi Eliezer, the Musug of Rabbi Eliezer, the person of Rabbi Eliezer, teaches us that if a person is he's going to reach this dagger of Elio Anavi. Because Rabbi Eliezer had such a bikush that he wanted to go and learn, and he put all his kairos into it, and he was talking about tzliach in the end. Okay, so let's continue the story. Omad v'holach itz Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So he traveled to Yerushalayim and he went to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yoshev lo yivaya baiche. Yes, sir. I didn't say he was encouraged by Rabbi Kiva. We were saying that he was
by the same type
of idea, because it happens to be.
No, because I think in time it's the problem here.
Rabbi Kiva is actually a type of Rabbi Eliezer.
Yeah.
So I wasn't saying he was encouraged by the story of Rabbi Kiva. Saying that he was encouraged by the same type of idea. But just like Rabbi Kiva was encouraged somehow by the water hitting the rock, right. So he too was encouraged somehow by the penetrating the hard ground. Right, not that there was the story. All right. You're right. You're absolutely right. In the history of it, Rabbi Kiva came after.
I know what Torah it was.
Rabbi Kiva didn't say the Horban. It sounded
right.
Like the Horban when he was a kid.
Right.
And then 40 years later,
whatever. Right, Rabbi Kiva.
I know what Torah really was, though.
What?
I know what Torah really was. Like, what was where was his taste of it that gave him such a desire?
Exactly.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, it's an amazing question.
I hope we're gonna have time to talk about it this week, if not next week.
But
it's a good question. Yeah, but you see me every day in Yeshiva.
Mm-hmm. Well, you let me next chance.
Yeah. fine. So he went to Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, and we see that Rabbi Eliezer is a big crier. Amar v'alacha it's Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. Yoshev loy v'hayav v'icha. He's sitting and he's crying. Amar loy mipnei mata v'icha. Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai comes and says, "Why are you crying? I want to go learn Torah." He's sitting, I guess, maybe he went to Yeshiva of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai in Yerushalayim. He's sitting there, he's crying. Rabbi Yochanan comes, "Were you crying? I want to learn Torah." I'm like, "Ben mi ata? Who are you? Where are you coming from?" He didn't know who his father was. We're going to see in a moment why. Okay, well, let's see what.
His father wasn't Jewish.
What?
Maybe he was a convert.
No, Hyrcanus was definitely Jewish. We're going to see later on that Hyrcanus was actually, his father Hyrcanus was actually one of the chashuva people of Klal Yisrael. We don't see that he was that his father was one of the chashuvi of the Talmidei Chachamim, but it seems that his father was a gvir, a baal basa, who was very influential. But
sounds like a Greek name.
Huh? Hyrcanus does sound like a Greek name. You are absolutely correct. But the Radal says that
Pash.
What?
Unculus,
yeah. Unculus, Hyrcanus, these types of.
Angelo. Yeah,
what did you say?
The
Radal. So the Radal says that Pashup Shad is that he didn't want to say who he was because he's running away from home, so he doesn't want people to find out where he went. And if word gets out, his father's gonna be in for a beating or something. I don't know. So he didn't want people to know exactly where he went and where he's coming from. And also another nukud that the Radal says that it was his father who was sort of stopping him from learning his whole life. His father kept, making him work or whatever. So it's sort of, he felt that it would sort of be like Lashon Hara to say like, oh, it's my father. And they'd be like, oh, so how come he never learned before? Oh, my father never let me learn. He didn't want to say who his father was exactly.
He'd have to tell the whole story.
Yeah. So he didn't want to get involved in that.
And there's maybe something hidden here, because his grandfather was so important, why was it plowing the ground?
Right. Why was he working with the workers? That's also an interesting thing to note.
Training, I should train his son.
Yeah. Another nukuda that the Marzus points out is that he didn't want to say who his father was because he was, as we mentioned, his father is one of the chashuva people from the generation. So he didn't want that Rabbi Eliezer would start giving that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would start giving him special treatment, giving him cover. He wanted to be like one of the regular students of the yeshiva. And another nukud of the Marzus says is that he wanted that he was scared that if he tells Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai who his father is, so then his father says, the son of Rabbi of Hyrcanus, I have to teach you, whatever. And he felt that maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would have some sort of negias in why he would be teaching him instead of teaching him Lishma. So he wanted to start off learning Torah Lishma, make sure that mitzad himself is Lishma and mitzad the teacher is Lishma. So he didn't want to say who he was, because otherwise it would be like, maybe it's like a political thing. If you teach the son of the rich guy, so maybe you get money or something like that.
I'm assuming that his tears are sincere. It's not a manipulation,
right?
And given that they're sincere, I don't understand such a person, that level of sensitivity. Where things like the prospect of having to speak, Lashon Hara of his father or something would cause him to, cry and things like this. So I don't understand the sensitivity.
But he was his way to.
He's a grown man already. He should. I would think that he would have some manner of dealing with the difficult situations, other than crying. Or perhaps it's in this case of something that's so important to him, learning Torah, that would
bring it out. But really, he was a rational person, and here he's getting all emotional about something because he really does feel so strong.
Maybe you have a parent, I don't know. If a 28-year-old, we get to, we're going to ask him, can you please teach me Torah? Get out of here. He wouldn't tell, look, no. Not eligible, you're old, whatever.
Right.
Maybe not serious. Because he was crying, he made everyone like, did something serious happening here? Maybe. That's his way, like he did it with
his father.
Father.
If he's doing it on purpose.
To get his attention.
We don't know if he was Dafka crying on purpose it's an emotional thing. It's not clear. It's not clear.
How many times already?
And you have to.
The father, twice the father, once the other.
We're not done yet.
Yohanan is okay. And
we're a few times he's going to come over here now. So he's.
Listen, he's. Let's assume for a second that the tears are sincere and that he is a grown up, okay? He's used to dealing with situations. With his father, and when he's working, he starts to cry. It would have to be that he knows what's going to be. His father's not going to let him go. Mm-hmm. And this is very dear to him.
Mm-hmm.
Christ. He gets the yeshiva finally, runs away, goes to yeshiva. He knows what the Rosh Kollel is going to say to him. He's going to say to him, get out. We only have young boys here. You know, he knows it's not going to happen. It's very dear to him. He cries again.
Right. I know.
And I think everyone here would cry if we were to see Leonavi, right? That's the easy one.
No, but that stunned. I'd be crying out from a reaction of
a
high spiritual revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leonavi can help him. He just told him, like, go. He's an enemy, go there, you know?
Yeah. So let's see what Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai says to him. Amar lei, mi amecha lo lamadata kriya shma v'le tefila v'le birkas hamazon. You never learn. He's asking Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, teach me Torah. He says, you never learned kriya shma, you never learned how to daven, you never learned how to bench, birkas hamazon. Amar lei, lo. No, I never learned any of this stuff. He says these three things because these three things are things that you do every day. And if you don't know that, mamish don't even know the basics. So stand here, I'm going to teach you all these three things. This is the most important thing. So the way the Mefarshim explained it is that so what he went and he stood there and he taught him those three things. And still, Yoshav Hayabaicha, he still was sat down and he was still crying. My son, why are you crying? Interestingly, here he calls him Bini, my son, why are you crying? Before he just said, what's the pshat? So the Marzu says, because before he was just a stranger, he didn't know who he was. Now he's his Talmud. He taught him Kriya Shema, Tefillah, Birkas Hamazon. So now he calls him Bini. Bini, mipnei ma ata b'icha. This is Talmud.
He's making progress.
What?
He's getting.
Why are you crying? I want to learn Torah. Meaning, I don't want to just learn the basics, Kriya Shema, Tefillah, Birkas Hamazon. I want to really sit in the Beis Medrash. I want to be like all the big Talmidei Chachamim. I want to learn the real bread and butter and get involved, get my hands dirty. So what happened? Hayayim eloi shtei halachis kol yemei ha-shvua v'yachayzer eloi aleihen u'medabkan. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the Nasi of Klal Yisrael at this point, the number one leader in the yeshiva in Klal Yisrael, sat down with him and he would tell him two halachas. It's not clear exactly. Understand this. One way of understanding it is that he would tell him each week. He would tell him two halachas. This way the Marzu says it. He would tell him two halachas, and Rabbi Eliezer would on his own make some sort of pilpul or whatever, and try to somehow show how those two halachas are connected to each other. Or umidabkan, he would make them cling, means midabkan to his nefesh and to his heart. Like it says in Mishlei, in Paragimel, kisul maluach libecha. You should write the Torah on the chart of your heart. You should, kilu, like inscribe it inside yourself. Another mahalach is that every day of the week he taught him two things, because the Radal wants to say it like that, because he says it doesn't make sense that he would only learn two halachas the whole week, because we find Makaris that Rabbi Eliezer was able to remember things very quickly and very fast. So he wants to say there wasn't that it was two halachas the whole week, it was two halachas every day of the week.
Like he says, Kol Yemei HaShavua.
Kol Yemei HaShavua. All days of the week.
But I hear it could be in the Kol Yemei HaShavua for all the days of the week. Two halachas for all the days of the week. It's not clear exactly what it means, but interestingly, the Radal brings a Tshuvas Rashbash that when it says Kol Hashena Halachis B'chol Yoyim Muftach Leishu Ben Elaba, so Kol Hashena Halachis B'chol Yoyim Halachis means at least two. So if you learn two halachas every day, you move to Chesed Haba. So it could be that's what Rabbi Eliezer was doing. He was learning two halachas every day. And Radal conjectures that maybe it means one halacha in the morning, one halacha at night, or he would learn two halachas during the day and he would do chazara the whole night or whatever. Or he would learn one in the morning and then chazara the whole day, and one in the beginning of the evening and then chazara the whole night. Al kaponim, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Takat went and was teaching Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer was getting used to the Musag of Yeshiva. And I think we'll go a little bit weiter. Yeah? Okay. So what happened? Rabbi Eliezer is getting used to his situation over here in Yeshiva. Also, Shmoyne Yomav Leitom Klom. Rabbi Eliezer went and at some point he fasted for 8 days when he was in the Yeshiva. It's not clear exactly why he did this. Maybe he still didn't feel that he was holding on the level yet, so he wanted a certain extra siyata d'shmaya or whatever it was. He was fasting for 8 days, and as you might know, a person who doesn't eat in the morning, let's say if you don't eat in the morning, so your breath actually smells really bad the rest of the day. So he comes into yeshiva with bad breath one morning. One morning he comes to shir and he smells really bad from fasting, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kicks the guy out of the basement. Who is this guy with this smell? Get out of here! So he kicks the guy out of the basement. The Radal says that that's not called embarrassing him, because it's not clear exactly why not, but he just compares it to Gemara in Sanhedrin, where there was somebody in the basement who ate garlic, and Rabbi said, "What about garlic? Get out of the basement." So it's a similar idea. I would think that instead of saying that it's a bizoyan to the guy who ate the garlic, I think it's that let's say that Rebbe was mevaza the guy who ate the garlic. I think the guy who ate the garlic was mevaza himself. You go to a shir, there's a guy there chewing gum. You know, he's 28 years old. You know, since you're in first grade, you're not supposed to chew gum in class. So what are you doing there chewing gum? You're embarrassing yourself. I'm not embarrassing you by telling you to get out. Everyone knows the rules. Get out of here. But poor Rebbe Eliezer, this is his first day, this is his first week in yeshiva. He's not acclimated to the matzav of yeshiva. Doesn't know how it works exactly. He doesn't know what the rules are. So he didn't know. He didn't realize that you have to make sure that, if you're going to fast, or at least, take some mint or something in your mouth so you don't smell bad or something like that. But so Rebbe Eliezer gets kicked out of the Beis Medrash.
Doesn't say
it. He was sent away. He was sitting and crying, of course. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai goes out, he walks out of the Beis Medrash for his bathroom break or something, and he sees this guy that he kicked out of the Beis Medrash sitting there outside the Beis Medrash crying. He says, "Why are you crying?" I guess the pshat is like if you're going against the rules, you know you get kicked out. So like you obviously did it on purpose. Like, why are you crying? So like maybe that something like that. Because you sent me away from yourself, like a guy who sends away like someone who's like disgusting, like full of boils and like has all kinds of like acne or something, like some sort of hideous creature. You just like sent me away like that. Yeah.
Like the guy who had those
boils.
Yeah.
Boils.
Yeah.
So you send me off like I'm sort of some sort of creature and I feel bad. Amalei bini. Oh, so now Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says the punchline. Kishem sha'ala reach picho milfonai kach yala reach huketeira mi picho l'shomayim. Just like the smell of your mouth came in front of me, so too the reach of the smell of the chukei Torah of the divrei Torah from you will go straight to Shemayim. In this, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is giving him a bracha.
Why do you get a bracha?
What?
Why? To make him feel better.
To make him feel better. Yeah. That's one nekuda.
But he also realizes he's getting. It seems like he's getting a better sense all the time of who he is.
Why? He was kicked out and he's crying. Okay, of course he's crying. He doesn't. Why are you crying? Because he's kicked out. Yeah, fine, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I kicked you out because it's so great in Torah that you can't, act like someone else, like someone that chewed garlic in class. You have to act like a Talmid Chacham. That's why he gave him the bracha there. I'm not giving you the bracha. I'm telling you that you're going to be so great in Torah, and then you have to act like one. Right. One person that is a big
Talmud Chacham. Yeah, if we're saying like the way I was saying it before a little bit, that he wasn't used to the yeshiva, he didn't know exactly all the rules or whatever. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was sort of giving him a bracha that you should be matzliach in yeshiva. Not just getting all the rules or whatever, but even becoming the leader of the group and becoming a Talmud Chacham like all the other people in the rabbanim in the yeshiva, that you should be reich chukei Torah mipichal shemayim. It's a big bracha from Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Now he says, Amaloi bini ben miato. Whose son are you? Who is your father? Amaloi ben Hurkanas ani. I am the son of Hurkanas. Amaloi v'haloi g'dayla olam ato. Aren't you the son of g'dayla olam, the chash of a people? You didn't tell me who your father was. Why didn't you tell me your father was? He's such a hush of a person. So he says, he didn't answer the question. The Mefarshim sort of discuss why didn't Rabbi Eliezer say who his father was, as we said before, the different Peshadim, and why now all of a sudden he does say. So the Marzu says that the reason why now he does is because if your Rebbe asks you something once, fine, so you can sort of ignore it. But if he asks you twice and he's trying to like help you out over here, you can't just ignore him. You have to give him a straight answer. Which is interesting because before the Marzu explained that the reason why Rabbi Eliezer didn't want to say who his father was is because he didn't want that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would teach him Shalei Lishma. So first he wanted to make sure that that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is teaching him Lishma, and then he would tell him who his father is. So according to that explanation, over here, by now he probably realized that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is teaching him Lishma, so he could reveal it. You don't have to say a whole pshat that he didn't want to not answer his Rebbe twice. Okay, that's so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to him, I swear that today you're going to come eat your suda next by me. I want you to eat by me today. I guess he wants to make sure that the guy eats, I'm not going to eat by you. I already ate lunch by my hosts, by the people that I'm staying at. I already ate there.
Didn't eat anything.
What?
Didn't eat anything. Yeah, it was fasting.
Right. That's a good question. So who's your host? Amaloi, he said, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya and Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen. Shalach v'sholach sanya shalai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sent a messenger and asked these two people, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yosi, Amalehem, etzlechem suad Eliezer hayayim? This guy Eliezer, he ate by you today? Amaloi, laugh! No, he didn't eat by me. And it was revealed. No, who didn't know? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't know that he was fasting.
He didn't know.
And now he realized that this guy was fasting.
Right.
And now I see that he had 8 days and he didn't eat anything. And then his two hosts themselves, they came and told Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, this guy hasn't eaten anything. We thought that he was eating by you, but you probably thought he was eating by us. But now we realize that there was sort of miscommunication. He's not eating by me. He's not eating by you. And what the Marzu says, that they came themselves. They didn't just send messages because his mom is a case of pikuach nefesh. The guy didn't eat for 8 days. So we gotta go take care of him.
Did the person say anything about lying?
Oh, so that's one of the two nekudas that I want to talk about. It's a shtickle late already, but I think it's okay if I continue a little bit.
Yeah, please.
So there's two nekudas like this. One nekuda is there's a Gemara Yerushalmi Masachas Megillah Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. It says in the Yerushalmi there was one time. Do we have Yerushalmi here? I don't think so. It was a Yom Segrir. There was once, it was a rainy day, and nobody came to the Beis Medrash on that day. The Chachamim didn't come to the Beis Medrash on that day. And what happened was a few kids came to the Beis Medrash. All the adults stayed home because it was raining. Maybe they were home with their kids or something, I don't know. They were home,
no.
And only a few kids came to the Beis Medrash that day. It was raining. It was mamish little kids. They came to the Beis Medrash. They were Meister Nefesh on this rainy day. They came to the Beis Medrash. And they said, no, we gotta learn. So these kids didn't really know anything. I would add that all they knew is the first thing you're supposed to learn, Torah Tziv Olana Moshe Mara Shakil Es Yaakov, the Indian of that Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they knew a little bit of Aleph Beis. Mamish little kids, like 3-4 years old. Are you getting your Shalmi? It's okay. I'll just say over the story. And so these kids come into the Beis Medrash and they say, no, we gotta learn. So what do they say? So they just know Aleph Beis. So they're gonna say a Drush on Aleph Beis. Yeah? They know, we all know that in Aleph Beis there's four letters that are repeated. Right? There's four letters that are repeated in Aleph Beis. There's the Mem, Nun, Sadek, Pei, Chof. There's the final Mem and a regular Mem. The final Nun, a regular Nun. Sadek, Pei, Chof. Mem, Nun, Sadek, Pei, Chof. Five letters. Right? Mem, Nun, Sadek, Pei, Chof. Five letters. So we're going to say a Jewish on these five letters. It says, Mem, Mimimer, Lemimer. Nun, Mineman, Leneman. Tzadik, Mitzadik, Letzadik. Pei, Mipe, Lepe. Chof, Mikaf Yodei Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu Lekaf Yodei Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. They made a Jewish in the letters, the five letters that have final letters of Menatzpach. They made a Jewish that talks about Hashem giving the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. Mimamir Lamaimer, Neman Lanaman, Tzadik Letzadik, Pelepe, Kaf Yodei Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu Lekaf Yodei Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Yerushalmi ends off. It says that they put up as a simon. They made some sort of sign that we're going to watch these kids and see what happens to them. And the Yerushalmi says, yeah, who are these kids? When they grew up, it was Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua. Now, from what we know, Rabbi Eliezer, it sounds like he didn't know anything. He mamish came in, he didn't know Kriya Shema, he didn't know, had a bench, he didn't know Shemoneh Esrei.
He was a kid.
So what?
He was a kid.
When he was, we know when he was a kid, he was able to say this grace of drasha, and now he comes in, he doesn't mamish know anything. So, like he never learned before. What happened?
Yeah.
That's one question. Another question is what you were asking also. We find that Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai invited him over to eat by him, and he said, "No, I already ate." Okay? And he didn't really eat; he was fasting for 8 days. So how could he lie? It's usher to lie. Right? So how do you do that? So the first question about Rabbi Eliezer being Rabbi Eliezer learning in his younger years, the Radal says, you know, it's not really such a question because Rabbi Eliezer only learned Aleph Beis, whatever. He didn't learn, like, Kriya Shema is already a little bit more advanced. So he didn't get to that. You know, learning the Aleph Beis is like first grade, and learning Kriya Shema is, let's say, in third, fourth grade or something like that. So he didn't get to third, fourth. He stopped at, like, first grade. So if you learn like that, then it's not such a question. But there's a Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia. It says like this. Omer Shmuel, Bahani Gemara Bava Metzia Chav Gimel Mbez. Omer Shmuel, Bahani Tlas Mili Avidi Rabbanan Demishanu Bimilayhu. About these three things, the Talmud Chacham is a lot of lie. B'Maseches, B'Puria, U'Ushpiza. About a Masechta, about a Puria, and about Ushpiza. Is in the Zohar, Ushpiza actually means a guest. But in the Gemara, Ushpiza means a host. It's interesting how the word switched. One second. Oh. So what does it mean by mesechta? So Rashi says, but mesechta means that if someone asks you, did you learn such and such mesechta, and you learned it, but you don't really want to like show off that you learned it, so you're allowed to say, I never learned it before, even if you did. That's the mesechta. Midas anavus. Bepuria, so that's if someone asks you a private question, like if you had relations with your wife or whatever. So you're allowed to lie. If the answer is yes, you could say no. If the answer is no, you could say yes. You know, you probably should smack the guy in the face and tell him it's none of your business. It's not so clear in the Rishonim and Taisis and the Shita Mekubetz is exactly what's it talking about, because like what does it have to do with Talmud Chacham? The Ben Yayada in Bava Metzia says that Dafka Talmud Chachamim would come to the Beis Medrash every night to learn, but if they weren't there for a night, that's a little bit suspicious. So people are, oh, well, how come you didn't come last night? So that's really none of their business why you didn't come, so you don't have to answer them. But the Marsha in Bava Metzia is a famous Marsha, at least amongst Yeshiva Bachrim, that Bapuria means about Purim, that you really you're supposed to get drunk on Purim. Adel Yada Ben Oro Haman Lvarach Mordechai. You're supposed to get so drunk, but if you're a Talmud Chacham, you're allowed to not get drunk and sort of like let people think that you're drunk even though you're not really drunk and sort of lie about how drunk you really are. We're almost done. Uva Ushpiza means that about guests. Rashi explains that Ushpiza means that if somebody asks you, is such and such a good host? So Al Hakar Satoyev, you're allowed to say that he's, listen to this is very interesting, you're allowed to say that he's not such a good host. Because if you say he's a good host, everyone's going to want to go eat by him. And then you're gonna mess the guy over. He's going to have to spend money and be busy with other people. So you're allowed to say that he's not a good host so that people won't go and bother the guy. These are three things. So the Parachad, which is one of the Mefarshim on Pirkei Avos that we mentioned last week, it was written by Rav Chaim Falaji. So Parachad wants to say that don't tell me that really Rabbi Eliezer knew Kriya Shema and benching and Shemoneh Esrei and davening. Don't tell me that he really knew it and he just lied because he wanted to learn by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Because the Gemara only says you're allowed to lie about a Masechta. It doesn't say you're allowed to lie about other things. So don't tell me that. So what's the answer to that? We'll see in a moment. But in regard to the other question about how was Rabbi Eliezer able to say he didn't eat if he didn't really eat, so someone want to extend this heter of Ushpiza to the case of Rabbi Eliezer, but that's not exactly the case that the Gemara is talking about. That Gemara is talking about something sort of different. In the Shita Mekubetz in Sechas B'Metzia, what?
Maybe he didn't know
it was also the line. Oh, sure. That's a svara that is also, but in the Shita Mekubetz, it sounds like for Tikkun Amidos, it could be that there's other heterim to lie, so it could be for some reason Rabbi Eliezer was doing some sort of Tikkun Amidos by fasting, so he didn't want people to realize. I'm not sure exactly what the Nukuda is, but Al Kapanim, in regard to the thing about Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Eliezer learning when he was younger,
it could be about the host that you said it was one of the three things. You can lie about the host.
Right, but what it means, the way Rashi says it, lie about the host means you could say that he's a bad host so people won't go to him.
But in this instance, he's saying, I ate already. So the Rosh Kollel is going to know that, okay, he knows who he's by, whatever, and that they're feeding him.
I don't know. The other Nukuda is the question about him learning when he was younger and now he's saying he doesn't know Kriya Shema. So actually it's a Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos asks this question straight up in Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, and with this we're going to end. Tosfos says Birshalmi Bereshit Shabbos Kamar Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph Havu Ma'isin Dardiki V'Chalik Elash Shalom V'Hado Amar Be'Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer Shloi Lamed Rabbi Eliezer Tari Ela Ad Shehayu Gadol. He wasn't Isaac in Torah, but he learned Torah. This is a different level. You know, you could have learned things, but you're not Isaac in things. Maybe also you could say Stam, like he learned these things when he was younger and he forgot it. I don't know. Okay, we're going to stop here for this week, and I hope everyone has a nice week and a good Tavach. Kol Tov.